Well, what it means is that that veterancy, which had existed prior to this announcement, is now filled by two persons, two vice presidents, and this in respect of the party leadership, not in respect of government. And I'm drawing a distinction there. In terms of the party, the president of the party, president and first secretary of the party, is allowed to appoint his vice president, bearing in mind the dictate of the Unit Accord of 22 December 1987, which require that one such appointment comes from the old ZANU-PF, then the second one comes from old ZAPU. So really what has happened is in fulfillment of that accord, but more importantly, it is also marking a major step towards regularizing the appointments at government level, which we are still to announce. We have not announced the appointments at government level for the simple reason that that's a constitutional process which must be done at an appropriate level and through an appropriate person. In this particular case, the chief secretary to the president and cabinet, and I'm not one such. I'm a mere spokesperson of the presidency. As a matter of fact, the chief secretary to the president and cabinet, Dr. M.J. Slander, Mishek Slander, is out of the country on a very urgent government business. He's actually in South Africa. Upon his return, we should be able to complete the announcement in a way that encompasses the government side, in which case we would then have a complete announcement covering both the party as well as government.
I'm going to ask about the interests of the women who have been calling to have at least one woman representing them among the two positions of the vice president. What's your take on that?
Well, there are two points that I would want to raise in respect of that matter. The first point has to do with the constraints that are built into the constitution itself. In terms of the national constitution, the president is only allowed five appointments. And I raise this matter not necessarily in respect of the party appointments, but in respect of appointments that I am virtually anticipating in respect of government. I notice this debate about the women's quota does not pay due attention to the fact that the president is only allowed five other possibilities in terms of appointments outside of parliament. And by parliament, I mean both the lower and the upper house. What that means is there is a built-in structure within our constitution which ties the hand of the president to appoint the majority, to make the majority of his appointments from within parliament. We must always be mindful of the constraints that we have built into our own constitution and then ask ourselves whether we have given our governors a document that is competent enough to allow for flexible governance. And my argument is it doesn't, to the extent that it imposes certain strictures on the president. That's one aspect. The second aspect has to do with our reckoning of the notion of the presidency. The presidency comprises the president himself, his two vice presidents, and the national chairman. You might want to add secretary for administration because he's part of the top hierarchy. Now, within the limits imposed both by the party constitution as well as by the national constitution, you will notice that deliberately the new president has made it a point that the chairman, the chairperson of the party, has taken the form of a lady by way of Opa Mutsinguri, right? Which means within the limitations that I've already outlined, it means there's been an attempt to try and ensure that there is some voice representing the female lobby in the country, right?